Welcome to XY Files Podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Vidma, with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 14 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered it might not be low testosterone conditions that mimic the same symptoms. Today we're getting into functional versus organic hypogonadism, key differences. In the last episode, the big takeaway was simple. Fatigue, low mood, weaker workouts, brain fog, poor sleep, low libido, erection changes. None of those automatically mean low testosterone. They can come from a lot of different places. Today is the next step. Once low testosterone is actually on the table, you still have to ask what kind of low testosterone it is. That is where men get into trouble. They hear one low number or one doctor says, your T is low, and suddenly the conversation jumps straight to treatment. But the real question is whether the system is damaged or just suppressed. Same symptom set, very different biology, very different plan. I see this confusion constantly. A man comes in carrying labs from somewhere else. He has a total testosterone value, maybe a red flag next to it, maybe not. No LH, no FSH, sometimes no free testosterone worth trusting. He has already been told what treatment he needs. At that point, we are trying to solve a puzzle with half the pieces still in the box. That is not medicine. That is optimism with a lab requisition. When we say hypogonadism, we are not talking about a lab result in isolation. We are talking about a clinical syndrome. It requires both persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence of testosterone deficiency. Both. At Vidma, when a man has ongoing symptoms and his total testosterone is below 350 nanograms per deciliter, or his free testosterone is below 100 picograms per milliliter, that warrants action. But a number alone is still not the diagnosis. A tired guy with one low afternoon testosterone level is not automatically hypogonadal. A guy with symptoms and normal hormonal testing is not either. This part matters because once you label someone incorrectly, everything after that gets messy. The key distinction today is functional versus organic hypogonadism. Functional means the hypothalamic pituitary gonadal axis, the brain to testis signaling system, is still basically intact. It is being pushed down by something. Usually obesity, metabolic disease, chronic illness, medication effects, sometimes alcohol burden, sometimes bad sleep, layered on top of all the rest. Organic hypogonadism is different. That means structural or irreversible damage somewhere in that axis. The testes, the pituitary, the hypothalamus. Something is actually broken. A car analogy works here, because men tend to understand cars faster than endocrine physiology. Functional hypogonadism is like an engine that is capable of running, but the computer has pulled power because the whole system is under stress. Organic hypogonadism is a cracked piston. You can step on the gas all you want. The engine is not giving you what you need because the hardware is damaged. That is why LH and FSH are mandatory, not optional. They tell you where the failure is starting. If testosterone is low and LH is high, that points to primary hypogonadism. The brain is shouting at the testes, and the testes are not answering. If testosterone is low and LH is low or normal, that points to secondary hypogonadism. The signal from the brain is weak or suppressed, and the testes may still be able to work if the signal is restored. FSH helps complete the picture, especially around fertility and pituitary function. If you do not measure LH and FSH, you cannot classify the condition correctly. And if you cannot classify it, you cannot choose the right treatment. One of the more common stories I hear goes like this. A guy in his early 40s comes in with brain fog, lower drive, poor gym recovery, and a libido that has clearly changed. He has been told his testosterone is kind of low, but not terrible. When we look closer, his total testosterone is in the low 300s. His free testosterone is clearly below range for how he feels, and his LH is low normal. That is not a failing testicle. That is a suppressed system until proven otherwise. Very different conversation. Functional hypogonadism is common because modern life is very good at suppressing this axis. Adipose tissue changes hormone signaling. Chronic metabolic stress affects hypothalamic and pituitary drive. Estradiol can rise in men with excess body fat. Inflammatory signals rise. Sleep gets worse. Insulin resistance joins the party. The result is often low or inappropriately normal LH and FSH, even though the testes may still be capable of making testosterone. The Endocrine Society guideline and the European Association of Urology guideline both make this point. In everyday practice, the functional form is far more common than classical organic disease. That is also why functional hypogonadism can be at least partly reversible. The system is suppressed, not destroyed. A pretty good way to think about it is a dimmer switch that has been turned down. The light bulb is still there. The wiring is still there. You need to figure out who turned the switch down and why. There is real evidence behind that idea. A well-known systematic review and meta-analysis on obesity-associated secondary hypogonadism showed that weight loss can raise total and free testosterone, lower estrogen levels in men, and restore gonadotropin signaling. Exercise helps too, especially when it is sustained long enough to change body composition and metabolic health. Medication changes can help. Better glycemic control can help. Treating chronic illness can help. In other words, some men do not need their system replaced. They need their system unblocked. That said, reversible is one of those words that sounds nicer on paper than it feels in real life. I see men every week who have been told, very casually, just lose weight and your testosterone will come back. I understand the intention. I also understand why that advice often lands like an insult. The average testosterone increase from lifestyle intervention alone is usually modest, around 1 to 2 nanomoles per liter in many cases. Helpful? Yes. Miraculous? No. If a man is right near the threshold, that may be enough. If he is significantly symptomatic, carrying a lot of central weight, not sleeping, and already metabolically unhealthy, that gain may not fully solve the problem. And then there is the durability problem. The EAU guideline points out something clinicians already know and patients definitely know. Weight regain is common, very common. Within 3 years, most lost weight comes back, in a large percentage of people. That is not because everybody lacks discipline. Human biology is annoyingly persistent. Work gets busy, kids stop sleeping, travel starts, stress eating returns. The endocrine system has no interest in your New Year resolution. So yes, functional hypogonadism can be reversible, but maintaining that reversal is often harder than starting it. I remember as a resident thinking that if the axis was intact, then fixing lifestyle should be enough most of the time. I was wrong. Not because lifestyle does not matter, it matters enormously. I was wrong because I underestimated how difficult it is to sustain the metabolic changes required for hormonal recovery while also having a normal adult life. Real men are not living inside a controlled trial. They are commuting, missing sleep, taking care of parents, managing layoffs, trying to get to the gym 3 times a week, and wondering why they still feel flat. This is why, in functional and secondary hypogonadism, enclomiphene makes so much sense as first-line therapy when LH is below 8 milli international units per milliliter. It works with the axis instead of replacing it. Mechanistically, it blocks estrogen receptors at the hypothalamus, which increases GnRH and then LH output. That signal tells the testes to produce testosterone naturally. Fertility is preserved, spermatogenesis is preserved, testicular size and function are preserved. Hematocrit risk is lower than with exogenous testosterone. and if the underlying suppressive factors improve enough, the medication may not need to be permanent.
That is different from testosterone replacement therapy. TRT has a role, an important role, but it is not the right first move for every man with a low number. Exogenous testosterone suppresses LH and FSH. That means it suppresses the body's own production and can suppress sperm production as well. For a man with functional or secondary hypogonadism who still has testicular reserve, that can be the wrong biological direction, especially if fertility matters. I am not anti-TRT. Large randomized data, including the TRAVERSE trial, suggest properly prescribed TRT did not increase major cardiovascular events compared with placebo, and did not show an increased prostate cancer risk in that study. But it still commonly raises hematocrit, and it does not treat the cause of functional suppression. It is a treatment for documented hypogonadism, not a wellness accessory. Now compare that with organic hypogonadism. Organic primary hypogonadism means the testes are the site of failure. High LH, low testosterone. The pituitary is sending a strong signal and the testes cannot respond adequately. Classic examples include Klinefelter syndrome, bilateral testicular loss, chemotherapy-induced testicular failure, and prior testicular torsion severe enough to damage function. In those cases, enclomiphene is not going to rescue something that is no longer capable of responding. The testes do not have the reserve. I recently spoke with a man who had cancer treatment years earlier and had been dragging for a long time. The emotional part of that story was obvious. The endocrine part was just as clear. Low testosterone, high LH, symptoms that had been written off as part of getting older. That is not functional suppression. That is organic primary failure until proven otherwise. A man like that usually needs testosterone replacement therapy managed appropriately, not wishful thinking. Organic secondary hypogonadism is more nuanced. The testes may still be able to work, but the signaling center above them is structurally impaired. Pituitary tumors, pituitary surgery, cranial irradiation. Congenital hypogonadotropic hypogonadism, such as Kallmann syndrome. Those are not lifestyle problems. Some of these men can respond to targeted treatment, and some can achieve fertility with gonadotropin-based therapy in specialist care. But again, the important point is classification. The man with a pituitary lesion is not in the same category as the man whose axis is being suppressed by obesity and metabolic disease, even if their total testosterone number looks similar on the lab sheet. So how do you actually tell functional from organic in the clinic? You start with a proper morning blood draw, between 7 and 11 in the morning, not after a rough night, not at 4 in the afternoon after leg day and 2 energy drinks. You measure total testosterone and free testosterone, and you measure LH and FSH at the same time. At VIDMA, we prioritize direct free testosterone measurement by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS/MS. Most labs still rely on immunoassays, which are common and convenient, but not always ideal for this question. High SHBG can hide testosterone deficiency if you are only looking at total testosterone. That is why direct free testosterone matters. We do not rely on separate SHBG testing to guess. We measure free testosterone directly. Our usual panel also includes estradiol, a complete blood count, a comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, PSA for men 40 and older, and insulin when BMI is above 25. Depending on the case, we may add a lipid panel, prolactin, or thyroid testing with TSH. That sounds like a lot only until you have seen how many men were worked up with one isolated testosterone number and a shrug. A lot of guys hear secondary hypogonadism and assume that means it is automatically benign or automatically reversible. Not necessarily. Low or normal LH with low testosterone tells you the pattern is secondary. It does not tell you why. Sometimes the cause is functional suppression from obesity, illness, or medication. Sometimes it is an organic pituitary problem that needs further evaluation. Functional hypogonadism is really a diagnosis of exclusion. You rule out the organic causes before you start congratulating yourself on finding a reversible case. Another mistake I see often is starting treatment before repeating or confirming the labs. Testosterone fluctuates. Symptoms fluctuate. Men are not machines, and even machines need more than one measurement when the dashboard light comes on. If a man starts treatment before the diagnosis is secure, then later nobody really knows what the baseline biology was. That can lock him into a treatment path he may not have needed.
Once the classification is clear, treatment gets much more rational. Functional hypogonadism, or appropriately selected non-organic secondary hypogonadism, is where enclomiphene shines, especially when LH is below 8 and the man still has testicular reserve. It raises endogenous testosterone while preserving fertility and testicular function. If erection issues or urinary symptoms are part of the picture too, the enclomiphene plus tadalafil combination tablet can make sense. At VIDMA, that is the lane we operate in. Careful diagnostic workup, individualized treatment plans, and follow-up with licensed providers after the first month, then every 6 months. Organic primary hypogonadism is different. Those men generally need testosterone replacement because the testes cannot respond adequately to stimulation. VIDMA does not prescribe testosterone injections or other TRT products, but part of practicing responsibly is saying clearly when that is the right educational answer. Organic secondary hypogonadism varies. Some men need pituitary evaluation. Some men need fertility-focused gonadotropin therapy. Some men who do not need immediate fertility preservation and whose pattern is functional rather than structural are usually better served by enclomiphene than by jumping straight to exogenous testosterone. A few misconceptions come up over and over. A lot of guys hear low testosterone and think permanent. Sometimes yes, often no. Functional hypogonadism is frequently at least partly reversible because the axis is suppressed, not destroyed. But only if you identify and address the suppressive factors. A lot of guys hear, "My testosterone is low, so LH and FSH do not matter." They absolutely matter. High LH plus low testosterone points toward primary hypogonadism. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone points toward secondary hypogonadism. That is not trivia. That is the fork in the road. A lot of guys assume weight loss alone usually fixes the problem. I wish it were that easy. Lifestyle treatment is essential. It is just not always sufficient by itself, and long-term maintenance is hard. Telling a symptomatic man to disappear for a year and come back after losing 40 pounds is not a plan. It is a delay. Another common belief is that TRT is always the strongest option, so it must be the best option. Stronger is not the same as better. If the testes are still functional and fertility matters, suppressing the axis may be exactly what you do not want. And one more. My total testosterone was normal, so I am fine. Maybe, maybe not. If symptoms persist, free testosterone needs to be assessed properly, and LH and FSH need to be there with it. I have seen too many men told they were normal because someone looked at one total testosterone number and stopped reading. If you want the practical version of all this, keep four things in mind. First, do not diagnose yourself from symptoms alone, and do not accept a diagnosis from one isolated number either. You need both symptoms and biochemical evidence. Second, get the right labs in the morning. Total testosterone, free testosterone measured directly, LH, and FSH. Without those, the classification is incomplete. Third, if low testosterone is confirmed and LH is low or normal, think about suppressive factors.
weight, insulin resistance, chronic illness, medications, alcohol, sleep. That is where functional hypogonadism lives. Fourth, choose treatment that matches the biology. If the axis is intact, preserving natural production and fertility usually makes more sense than shutting the system down. This series is built step by step for a reason. Last time we talked about conditions that can mimic low testosterone. Today we sorted out one of the most important distinctions after low testosterone is confirmed, which is whether the system is suppressed or structurally impaired. Next time, we'll get into alternatives to TRT, enclomiphene, HCG, lifestyle and fertility preserving options. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free, or order labs through our special offer at VIDMA.com.